Let's pray together. God, you are the great maker of worlds and the comforter of our hearts. You somehow manage to keep making the world every day and paying attention to each and every one of us as we long to serve you, to emulate you, to be perfect like you, to continue to draw nearer to you as we build up one another. We ask that you shape us more and more in the image and likeness of Christ, whatever that means. Help us to know what that looks like every day, more even tomorrow than today. And we thank you for your promises. In the name of Jesus, amen. So 2 weeks ago tomorrow, however you say that, tomorrow, 2 weeks ago, I get on a couple of international flights to go to this tournament in Hungary. And I'd never been to Hungary before. I'd never been to any of the places that I went. And I wind up in Vienna, Austria, as the last place that I'm supposed to stop flying and start training. I've never ridden a train like that before, so this was my experience. I get off the flight in Vienna, and there is a train to the central train station from the airport. They didn't bother to tell me that whenever I was trying to figure all this out. I thought that I just got off the plane, get on the train, and it takes me to this town halfway between Vienna and Budapest. No, I have to take a train to the train or a cab. Well, I decided to take a cab because it's getting to be about 7:30 at night, and there's only two trains left to this place that I'm trying to get to. And so I get in the cab, and the cab driver doesn't speak a lick of English. But I speak enough German to tell him what time I have to be there. So he's driving like crazy. I get to the train station, and there's all these monitors, and not a single one of them says the town I'm going to. And I'm like, oh, man. So I look at my ticket. I see the number, the train number, and I see it up there, but it says it goes to Budapest. I'm like, I don't want to go to Budapest. I got to go to this other place. No one bothered to tell me that the train stops every once in a while and you can just get off. So I try talking to a couple of people, and finally one of them kind of nods. And so I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to get on this train. And hopefully whenever I get to the place that I'm supposed to be, it'll slow down enough for me to jump off. So I'm on the train, and it's 8 o'clock at night. There's not hardly anybody on this train. Now, whenever I went back to Vienna, it was so packed that I sat on the floor. Going to this place in Hungary, there wasn't hardly anybody on the train. So I decided to play the dumb American and just get up and start asking people, do you speak English? Because I need to know. So I start asking. One person is kind of yeah, but they weren't really that helpful until I finally find this one guy as a young couple sitting in one of these little boxes by themselves. And I just looked at him and said, do you speak English? And he goes, yes, I speak English. And I'm like, oh, good. You ever been on this train before? He's like, yeah, we're on this train a lot. Like, does this train stop in your? And he goes, you mean you're? Yeah. you're. So I'm going to a town in Hungary pronounced you're. I'm going to your Hungary. It's like it was made for me. So I said, yes, it does it stop? And he says, yes, it does. The problem was there were no monitors anywhere on the train. None. I was expecting there to be like, here's where you stop. And so I said, how many stops are there? And he says, well, it'll stop when we get to the Austria-Hungary border, and then I think it stops one more time before we get to Europe. I'm like, okay. He said, just follow it on your GPS. Okay, so I pick up my maps, and I literally, for about an hour, just watch the train just tick across, and I see where I'm going. And then right before I get there, the train starts slowing down. And I look, and we're not quite there, but I'm thinking this is probably my stop. I look out the window. There's a sign about this big that says G-Y-O-R. Like, this is where I get off. So I get off the train. The guy who I asked comes behind me, and he's like, this is your stop. I'm like, thank you. It was so helpful. Get off, go outside, look to the right. There's no taxis. I don't know where I am. You look to the left. There's a taxi. I get to my place. Everything was good. But it struck me, especially by the time I walked down the stairs in this place I'd never been before that I didn't know, and walked back up and got in the taxi, it struck me how much, especially when we're in situations like that, there is a need to depend on others and to depend on the kindness of others. No matter how much you plan, no matter how much you think you've got all the things lined up, sometimes, especially international travel, it comes down to trying to find other people that you can depend on. And I'll come back to that, but I just kind of wanted to plant that as we get ready to read these couple of passages of Scripture. Just plant that, this need that we have to depend on others. This is the second half of a season that the Christian calendar doesn't know what to do with. I've said this before, and I'll say it again as we kind of start this second half of what's called Common Time. The Christian calendar from Advent, when you're anticipating the birth of Jesus and the coming of Jesus into the world, and Jesus coming into the world, and the life and teachings of Jesus, and the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the season after the resurrection of Jesus, it has a rhythm. It has a flow. We know what to do with it. But once we hit Pentecost in this after Easter season, and it goes into Common Time, it's like the people who choose these passages say, well, this one would be good for today. This one would be good for this Sunday. And I've read commentaries and I've read things about it to try to figure out the meaning and the structure and the rhythm of it, and it just doesn't make that much sense. But somehow today, it seemed to pick up a couple of passages that I think will be good for us to read during this time, and not just for us, but for life in general. These are going to be good for us to hear, and we need to hear them. And they're passages from God's Word that remind us that we need to depend on one another, but that we also need to build up one another. We must never forget in the life of the church that one of the primary things that we are called to as being people of love is to build up one another. That this is who we are. If we do not make that first priority as a community of faith to build up one another, then we are not putting first things first. These show each other the patience and the kindness, and that we cannot make it alone, and that we don't have to. So first, listen and absorb this section out of Romans 12. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all, if it's possible. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is one of those passages that when you read it, feels like it needs to be read slowly, over a long period of time, maybe even one phrase at a time. Pick a phrase, write it on a note card, get a magnet, put it on the refrigerator, and just make that one the thought of the day. If you did that with this particular passage, it would keep you busy for a while. Just all of these ideas contribute to the needs of the saints. What would that look like? What would that look like for you today, you specifically, if you thought, I'm going to make that the focus of my entire week? If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay, so that one may take more than a week. That one may take more than an index card. That's one of those that is a lifelong thing. It's like I was told in seventh grade when I learned how to play chess. They said, you can learn how to play this game in a day, but it's going to take you a lifetime before you even really learn how to start playing it. It's a process. It's a journey. So far as it depends on you, not the person sitting next to you, but so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That would take some time. Now let me read you another story. It wasn't a story, so let me read you a story about an exchange between Jesus and Peter. And one of the most important things that Jesus said about being a Jesus follower, a God follower, a child of God. And it takes place in a rather, what looks like a confrontational story. But in the midst of that confrontation comes this big teaching. This is, if you want to go back and read it later again, Matthew 16, starting in verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any of you want to become my followers, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. For if you want to save your life, you will lose it. And if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. For what good is it going to do you If you gain the entire world but lose your life, you know, said about the index card and doing something for a day and how some of them are going to take a lifetime. This is the one that's going to take a lifetime. What's it going to look like to deny yourself, take up a cross, and follow? This is going to be hard. This may be the hardest one, in fact. If for no other reason, we live in a society that is the opposite of deny yourself. You've noticed that, right? How many commercials do you see on TV that encourage you to deny yourself? How many billboards are plastering the statement, deny yourself today? How often do you overhear that in conversations at restaurants, people sitting next to you talking about how they're really working on what it means to deny yourself and take up a cross and follow Jesus? This is it. This is it, y'all. Unless you pick up this passage and read it later today, this moment, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, this is probably going to be the only time all week that you are offered one of the most important teachings of Jesus that says, deny yourself. What is the world telling us instead? Well, a couple of things are for sure. You know what one of them is, right? Focus on your fears. Put all of your focus on the things that scare you. Give all of your attention to the things that make you fearful, that cause you to be scared, that cause you to be worried, cause you to be worried about the things today, cause you to be worried about where we were yesterday, and certainly worried about and fearful about where we're going tomorrow. Focus on that. You remember how scared you were yesterday? Don't forget that. You know what you're worried about right now, 11 o'clock, even while I'm trying to read Jesus? You know what you're worried about right now? You can listen to this guy talk about Jesus all day long, but don't forget what you're scared about. And certainly don't forget come Monday, you'd better be scared tomorrow. I don't know, maybe one of the things about denying yourself and what that looks like in real life is denying your fear their power. What if you made that the focus for today and tomorrow? All the things that you fear, deny them their power. That, my friends, is absolutely revolutionary. Because you know what else the world is saying? You know why it tries to scare us? It really comes down to one thing. They want you to buy stuff. We're going to scare you so that you buy this thing. You buy this thing, it's going to make you feel more comfortable. It's going to make you feel better about yourself. It's going to make you feel better about the things that you bought yesterday. We as a community of faith in this place, if we're really going to be the kind of countercultural movement that Christianity, you know, is supposed to be, if we're really going to do that, we as a community of faith in this place need to be first things first about putting the focus where it actually needs to be. And where the focus needs to be for those of us who, as a community of faith, are trying to put first things first, needs to be about building up one another. That's it. That's who we need to be. We don't have to understand every contour of every issue. What we do have to do, what we are even called to do, is listen to one another and build one another up. And so, what will you do today to build up the person sitting next to you? Not the person sitting across the room. The person who is maybe not here on this particular Sunday. What might you do to build them up? And the question really comes down today, at least for today, is what will you do? I know I swing the conversation a lot to we. And the we is a very important part of what we do. But starting for today, what will you do? Sometimes it comes down to you, who you're going to be. What will you do? Who are you going to be today? What will you do? To quote those great modern poets, Rage Against the Machine, it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now? Amen.